In 1941, the United States Navy gave two men 60 days to solve an impossible problem. They needed a building, but not a normal building. They needed something that 10 people with no training could put together in a single day, using nothing but hand tools. Something light enough to fit on a cargo ship, tough enough to survive a hurricane, and cheap enough to build by the thousands. No architect on Earth had a design that checked all three boxes. The Navy handed the job to an engineer named Peter De Jong and an architect named Otto Brandenburger at the George A. Fuller Construction Company. Both were already working on a naval base in Rhode Island at a small coastal point called Quonset, a Narragansett tribal word meaning boundary. 60 days later, the first kit rolled off the assembly line. And what came out of that factory changed the way the world thought about shelter. But here's what most people don't realize. De Jong and Brandenburger didn't invent this idea from nothing. They borrowed it. In 1916, during World War I, a Canadian-American mining engineer named Peter Nyssen was serving as a major in the British Royal Engineers on the Western Front. He needed portable shelters for troops near the front lines. Within a week, he'd built his first prototype, a half cylinder of corrugated steel that six men could assemble in 4 hours. By September 1916, the Nyssen Hut was in full production. Over 100,000 were built during the First World War. The Quonset Hut was the Nyssen Hut re-engineered for mass production. Bigger, stronger, easier to ship, easier to build. Same brilliant idea, scaled up for a bigger war. Over the next 4 years, the military built more than 170,000 of them. They shipped them to the frozen Aleutian Islands, to the jungles of the Pacific, to the deserts of North Africa. From Arctic blizzards to tropical cyclones, the same simple building stood up to all of it. Many of those original huts, built over 80 years ago, are still standing today. So why did we stop building them? This is the story of the Quonset Hut, how it was designed, why it worked so well, how it sheltered millions of people after the war, and why a building this tough, this cheap, and this simple was quietly pushed aside in favor of structures that cost 10 times more and last half as long. So what exactly is a Quonset Hut? Picture a tin can cut in half, lengthwise, and laid on the ground with the open side down. That's it. A half circle of corrugated steel sitting on a flat floor. No corners, no angles, no complicated roof joints. The original 1941 design measured 16 feet wide and 36 feet long. That's roughly the size of a large single-car garage. The arch had an 8-foot radius, giving you about 6 feet of headroom at the walls before the curve started rising toward the center. But the Navy quickly realized they needed more space. By 1942, the standard model had grown to 20 feet wide and 48 feet long. That gave you 960 square feet of open floor space. No support columns. No interior walls cutting up the room. Just one big, open area under a steel shell. The kit came with everything you needed. Curved steel ribs for the frame. Corrugated steel sheets for the skin. A 1-inch tongue and groove plywood floor. Wood fiber insulation sandwiched between the outer steel and an inner lining of masonite. Doors, windows, even a chimney. Here's the part that made engineers pay attention. The redesigned model could be assembled in 2 arch sections instead of 3. This cut assembly time and reduced the number of bolts needed. It was also 35% lighter to ship and 60% cheaper to produce than the first version. And the cost? The small original model ran about $800 in 1941. That's roughly $17,000 today. The larger standard model cost around $1,000. The average cost to build a conventional house in the United States right now is around $162 per square foot. For a 960-square-foot home, that's over $155,000. The Quonset hut gave you the same floor space for roughly $1,000. Adjusted for inflation, that's still under $20,000. Same square footage, a fraction of the price. And it could survive weather that would flatten a stick frame house. The Navy eventually designed the building to serve 86 different official uses: barracks, hospitals, bakeries, dental offices, classrooms, chapels, mess halls, warehouses. They even built a version called the Elephant Hut that measured 40 feet wide by 100 feet long. The largest Quonset hut ever built during the war was on the island of Guam. It was a 54,000-square-foot warehouse assembled from prefabricated kits. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because the shape of the Quonset hut isn't just simple. It's one of the strongest shapes in all of construction. And the reason goes back thousands of years. The arch. The Romans used arches to build aqueducts that still stand after 2,000 years. Medieval builders used them in cathedrals that have survived earthquakes, wars, and centuries of weather. The arch is not a style choice. It is an engineering principle. Here's why. When weight pushes down on a flat roof, all that force goes straight down into the walls. If the walls can't hold it, the roof collapses. That's why conventional buildings need trusses, rafters, load-bearing walls, and internal supports. The flat roof is fighting gravity, and it needs a lot of help. An arch does something different. It takes that downward force and redirects it along the curve. The weight travels outward and downward, spreading across the entire structure instead of concentrating at any one point. Every inch of the arch shares the load. Think of it this way. Hold a piece of paper flat between your hands and push down on it with a finger. It bends instantly. Now curve that same piece of paper into an arch shape. Push down again. It holds. Same paper, same weight. The only difference is the shape. That simple physics lesson is the entire engineering secret behind the Quonset hut. Now add corrugated steel to that arch shape. Corrugation, those ridges running along the panels, adds stiffness without adding weight. A flat sheet of steel bends easily. A corrugated sheet resists bending in one direction while staying flexible in the other. Combine corrugation with the arch, and you get a structure that is almost stubbornly difficult to damage. This is why the Quonset hut doesn't need a single interior support column. The curved steel shell is the structure. Roof, walls, and frame are all one piece. There are no joints between the wall and the roof because there is no wall. There is no roof. There is just the arch. And this gives the Quonset hut three advantages that conventional buildings simply cannot match. First, wind resistance. A flat wall acts like a sail. Wind hits it, pushes against it, and tries to rip the roof off. That's exactly what happens in hurricanes and tornadoes. The joints where the wall meets the roof are the weakest points, and that's where buildings fail. A curved surface lets wind slide over it. There's nothing to catch, nothing to grab. In wind tunnel tests, arch-style steel buildings have withstood winds exceeding 150 miles per hour. Some reinforced models survive full hurricane-force storms. One Quonset hut owner in Florida watched a Category 4 hurricane tear roofs off houses all around him. His Quonset hut came through without a single wrinkle in the panels. Second, snow load performance. Snow slides off a curved roof. It cannot pile up the way it does on a flat surface. In parts of Canada and the northern United States, builders choose Quonset arches specifically. because they handle snow loads that would crush a conventional straight wall building. Third, earthquake resistance. The Quonset hut is lightweight and flexible. When the ground shakes, the structure absorbs the energy instead of cracking apart. There are no rigid corners to snap, no brittle joints to fail. Wind, snow, earthquakes, hurricanes. The same building handles all four. Not because of expensive engineering, not because of space-age materials, because of a shape that humans figured out before they had electricity. When World War II ended in 1945, the military had a problem. They were sitting on tens of thousands of surplus Quonset huts. They didn't need them anymore, so they sold them to the American public for about $1,000 each. And for a brief moment, something remarkable happened. Returning veterans who couldn't afford a house bought Quonset huts and turned them into homes. Farmers bought them for barns, workshops, and equipment storage. Universities, flooded with students on the GI Bill, used them as dormitories and classrooms. The University of Iowa built an entire married student housing complex out of Quonset huts called Quonset Park. In Los Angeles, a veterans housing development called Roger Young Village used them to shelter families who had nowhere else to go. In Hawaii, they became so common they got a local name, Kamaboko houses, because they looked like slabs of Kamaboko, a traditional fish cake. The Strand Steel Company put out a press release in 1946 listing 257 different ways people were using Quonset huts: homes, churches, repair shops, milking sheds, grocery stores, Sunday schools. Sherwin-Williams even created a special paint line called Quon Coat, just for coating the steel. In Nashville, Tennessee, the Bradley brothers bought a surplus Quonset hut in the 1950s and turned it into Columbia Records Studio B. That building became the cornerstone of Music Row. Some of the most famous country music in American history was recorded inside a military surplus hut that cost $1,000. Here's what nobody talks about. At a cost of roughly $1.50 per square foot, the Quonset hut was the cheapest solid structure available in America. It could be put up in days. It could withstand weather that destroyed conventional houses. It needed almost no maintenance. And it was available, right now, to anyone who wanted one. For a few years after the war, it looked like the Quonset hut might change American housing forever. But it didn't. So if the Quonset hut was this strong, this cheap, and this available, why did we walk away from it? The answer is not that we found something better. The answer is that we found something that looked better. The first problem was psychological. Veterans didn't want to live in the same buildings they'd slept in during the war. A Quonset hut wasn't a home. It was a barracks. It was a reminder of mud, sweat, and bad food. Soldiers had spent years dreaming of a real house with real walls and a white picket fence. The last thing they wanted was another tin can. The second problem was status. In post-war America, your house was your identity. A Cape Cod with shutters said something about who you were. A Quonset hut said something too, and it wasn't flattering. A hut was not a house, with all the status a house implies. The third problem was practical. Rectangular furniture doesn't fit well against curved walls. Beds, dressers, washing machines all had to be pulled away from the edges. The 960 square feet on paper shrank in reality because the sloping sides ate into the usable space. A Quonset 20 felt smaller than it measured. And then came the real killer: the post-war housing boom. After World War II, developers like Levitt and Sons figured out how to mass-produce conventional houses. Levittown, New York, started selling cookie-cutter homes in 1947. They were cheap, they were fast, and they looked like houses. Stick framing was quick to learn. Lumber was cheap. And the government backed low-interest mortgages through the GI Bill, making it possible for veterans to buy a traditional home for almost nothing down. The construction industry standardized around the stick frame model. Building codes were written for it. Contractors were trained in it. Supply chains were built around it. The Quonset hut didn't fit into any of those systems. And so, one of the toughest, cheapest, most weather-resistant buildings ever designed was quietly sidelined. Not because it failed, because it didn't look the part. Here is what that decision cost us. The average American home built today uses stick framing, wood studs, plywood sheathing, asphalt shingles. It costs around $162 per square foot just for construction, not counting land. The average total comes to over $428,000. It takes 7 to 12 months to build. It requires licensed electricians, plumbers, framers, roofers, and a general contractor to manage all of them. And what do you get for that money? A structure that the Federal Emergency Management Agency says is prone to catastrophic failure in high winds. A building whose roof can be ripped off by a Category 1 hurricane, which starts at just 74 miles per hour. A house that needs constant maintenance. New roof every 15 to 20 years. New siding. Termite treatment. Paint. Meanwhile, near the Korean DMZ, the U.S. Army still uses Quonset huts at Camp Casey. In Alaska, original WWII huts are still standing. The CB Museum in North Kingstown, Rhode Island, preserves 7 vintage Quonset huts rescued from demolition. The U.S. Department of Energy still uses them as workshops and warehouses at the Nevada National Security Site. A well-maintained Quonset hut can last 50 to 80 years. Some experts say longer. The corrugated galvanized steel resists rust, pests, and fire. There's no wood to rot, no shingles to replace, no trusses to fail. And modern versions have solved every complaint people had in the 1940s. Spray foam insulation gives you R30 or higher. Vertical side walls recover the lost floor space. Windows, skylights, and custom end walls make the interior feel like a regular building. You can bolt one together yourself with a few friends in a weekend. The cost? A basic modern Quonset hut kit starts under $10,000. A fully outfitted 960-square-foot model, comparable to a small home, can come in well under $30,000 for materials, before site prep and utilities. We are spending $428,000 on houses that blow apart in storms. The alternative has been sitting right here for 80 years. The Quonset hut was designed in 60 days by two men who were told to solve an impossible problem. What they created was deployed to every theater of World War II, survived Arctic blizzards and Pacific typhoons, housed millions of veterans after the war, and launched the careers of country music legends. And we abandoned it because it didn't look like a house. The Roman arch, the corrugated steel panel, the prefabricated kit. None of these are new ideas. None of them are complicated. None of them require a degree in architecture to understand. What they require is a willingness to choose function over appearance, strength over status, durability over decoration. The original World War II Quonset hut sits in a museum. The average American home sits on a 30-year mortgage. One has already lasted 80 years. The other needs a new roof before the loan is paid off. If you found value in this, hit like and subscribe. We investigate forgotten building knowledge, lost construction techniques, and the old methods that still outperform modern ones. Share this with someone who's tired of paying $500,000 for a house that can't survive a storm. Subscribe, and let's keep investigating what we left behind.